You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
In your Bibles today, you can turn to Luke 19. Luke 19, and we're going to look at this story of Palm Sunday. Because we all have this picture, beautiful picture of Jesus. He's riding in on a donkey, and he's coming in, and people are waving palm branches, and they're celebrating, and they're shouting, and they're saying Hosanna, and you got the religious corner over there. They've got some complaints. They're filing with Jesus, but all in all, everybody's shouting and singing and dancing and excited. But before this whole picture happens, I want to take a little step back and look at what Palm Sunday means. I want to look at the story that led up to Palm Sunday. And the question really is not just what happened 2,000 years ago on Palm Sunday, but what God is doing right now on Palm Sunday. There was something powerful that happened on that Palm Sunday, but there's something equally powerful that's happening this Palm Sunday. And that's what I want us to get a hold of. While Minister Robert was speaking to us last week so powerfully, he began to prophesy about Jesus coming and a visitation of the Holy Spirit that God was desirous of doing at our house. That it's something we've been praying for. It's something we've been leaning into. It's something that we've had an expectation for. But even more powerful is the fact that it's something that the Lord wants. And it's something that the Lord wants to do. The visitation of Jesus. And little did he know last week, and I think I spoke to him this week, and I said, you didn't even know that while you were studying for that message, God was already giving me the title of the next message that I'm going to preach, and that's today. And he told me, he's coming. He's coming. And I thought, what more appropriate sermon could be preached on Palm Sunday than he's coming? Because that's what they were saying. He's coming down the street. They said, he's coming. The king is coming. Hosanna, it's the Messiah. He's coming. Let's start here in Luke 19. Luke 19, 28. After Jesus said this, he went ahead going up to Jerusalem. And he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives. He sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Now that's great. Could you imagine that if you just walked and you took something from somebody's business and they said, what are you doing there? I said, well, the Lord needs it. We'll get to that at a different time. Those that were sent, they were sent ahead of Jesus, and they found it just like he told them. Let me tell you this, prophecy always precedes what God is doing. Prophecy will always proceed. Before God does something big, before God does something monumental, there will be a word that comes before. Prophecy precedes what God is doing. It preceded Jesus' arrival. The skies opened. The angels were singing, saying, Hosanna in the highest, peace on earth. This is what's happening with the Messiah coming to earth. It was a prophecy. Before Mary became pregnant, there was a prophecy. The word of the Lord came through Gabriel. There was always a prophetic utterance before God did what he did. And even so, before Jesus entered into Jerusalem, he gave a prophecy and said, look, you're going to go forward. You're going to go before me. And this is the way things are going to be. There's going to be a colt. You're going to get that donkey. You're going to take the donkey. When they ask you the question, you say, don't worry, the Lord needs it. Prophecy precedes what God is doing. We need to look at our lives and say, God, what are you saying right now to me? Because I know the plans that you have for me, the plans to prosper and not to harm me and give me a hope for a future. But first, I want to say, what are you directing me to do? What's the word? Before I jump out and start acting and start turning around in circles and wearing myself out, first, God, what are you saying? What's the prophetic word for me today? We need to be asking ourselves, what is the word that God has for me today? Turn to somebody and say, what is the word? Because it's not just any word. Some people give you a word. There's plenty of people give you a word. Aunt JoJo will give you a word. Right? You got a friend, you got a coworker to give you a water cooler word. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the word that God has for you. A prophetic word that will precede the move of God in your life. A prophetic word that will precede the miracle of God in your life. A word of God that will precede the manifestation of your purpose. Prophecy always precedes what God is doing. So before Jesus entered Jerusalem, he sent a word before him. A prophecy. Be ready. Turn to somebody and say, be ready. Before Jesus went up to Jerusalem for what we know as Palm Sunday, he told a story. In Luke 19:11, he gives this story here. It's the story of the 10 minas. And if you watch how Luke 19 goes, it's all in succession. It's this thing happened, then that thing happened, then the other thing happened, and then he went through Jerusalem. But before he went into Jerusalem, he tells this story to the disciples. So before you start shouting and dancing, listen to this story. Before they were dancing in the street, Jesus gave them this parable. Luke 19:11, it says, while they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, good servant, his master replied, because you've been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and you reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Can I tell you, God is entrusting you with things. God has entrusted you with things. He wants to know what you're doing with those things. Are you ready for him to return? Are you ready for him to walk in and evaluate what you've done, what he's placed in your hands? This is so important because we've got to be ready. When the king arrives, he's going to take an account. He's going to take a look. He's going to say, let me have a look-see what you've been up to. Let me take a look at what you got in your hands with what you've done with what I gave you. What have you done with your family? What have you done with your skill set? What have you done with your marriage? What have you done with your gifting? What have you done with your calling? When Jesus enters in, we talk about the move of the Spirit and how awesome it is when the visitation of the Holy Spirit comes. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit shows up, he evaluates our stewardship. And so Jesus says, before we go in and we start getting celebrated in the street and people are jumping up and down and saying, Hosanna, first, let me tell you this story about stewardship. It's important that stewardship doesn't get lost in all the shouting. Because when we stewarded correctly, then we actually have something to shout about. I say, God, I'm prepared. I've set these things in order. I've cleared the way for you. And now you can enter in to a place that's been prepared for you. To a temple that's been prepared for you. Have you been faithful? Have you done what's been placed in your ability? He's coming. Look at somebody, say, he's coming. Some moments are so life-altering, you don't want to miss it. You can't afford to miss it. Turn to somebody and say, he's coming. Are you preparing? Are you stewarding? What are you doing with your hands, with what God has put into your hands? The Bible says, take what's in your hands and do it with all your might. You see, I'm a believer in the fact that if you're faithful in the small things, that God will give you bigger things. And then you do well with those things, and God will give you some even bigger things. How many want big things in your hands? I don't know about you, but I want some big things entrusted in my hands. What are you investing in? What are you investing yourself in? Are you tithing your time? You know, sometimes we get so busy, we're not even giving God a tithe of our time. I'm not even talking about money right now. I'm talking about our time. I'm talking about our time. Sometimes it's just, we find it after the end of the week, we find it difficult to even have time for God in the mornings or have time for God on the weekends. I know, because I've been there. Sometimes it's difficult to have set those prayer times aside. Are we stewarding ourselves? Are we stewarding our time? You know that I figured the math out, but in a week's time, coming to a service is just 1% of your time. The whole time that you have in a week, 1% of your time is coming to one service. If you came to a service and a community group, that's 2% of your whole week. If that doesn't speak something to your spirit, maybe if you volunteered and you went to a community group and you went to a church service, then you'd be at 3%. How are we stewarding ourselves? I believe God wants to take us to another level. God wants to take you to another level. He wants to take your family to another level. He wants to take your finances to a different level. But if you're not even stewarding what you got now, how can God put more in your hands if you don't even have time for him? See, that's the problem why some people, they're not ready to be blessed. Because if God gave them the boat, then they wouldn't be in church on Sunday. They'd be in the water on Sunday. I pray for them. When I'm on my way to church and I see the boats and they're driving, I say, Lord, convict their spirit. Help them find their way to church. We're going to get them. We'll have a parking lot full of boats, a boat ministry. Are we spending our time in a way that makes us ready for him to walk in? Come on, church, get this. Are we spending our time in a way that makes us ready to welcome him in? Because let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is about to walk in. The Holy Spirit is about to walk in. And I'm not just talking about an average visitation. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit is about to visit us. Don't miss it. Turn to somebody and say, don't miss it. When Jesus shows up. So he tells the story. He gives the prophecy. And then Luke 19:32. They went and they found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, why are you untying that colt? Why are you taking my business stuff? And the disciples said, the Lord needs it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. And as he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When they reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, All the followers begin to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Amen. Let me tell you something. When I stop and think of the good things that God has done, it makes me want to celebrate. It makes me want to shout. When at the end of services, people come and say, I was healed in the middle of worship, it makes me want to celebrate the goodness of God. When I hear about the miracles that God is doing in people's lives, when I hear about how people are blessed financially when they give, it makes me want to celebrate. It makes me want to shout about the goodness of God. So his followers are praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Verse 38. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. This is so awesome. First, there's a prophetic word that comes the night that Christ was born. The stars open, the skies open, and they say, peace on earth, goodwill towards men, right? Glory to God in the highest. Now look, the manifestation of that. The people are saying, glory to God in the highest. Hosanna. But some of the Pharisees, look at somebody say, some of the Pharisees. Some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. And he said, if they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. Can I tell you, when we miss it, when we miss it, he can take the rubble. He can take somebody else and bring them in. And now they're celebrating. They're having the party that you should have had. When we don't realize what God is doing, what happens is we miss it and then somebody else is at the party. Don't give up your spot at the party. Jesus was saying, look, there's going to be a party either way. It's going to be these people or it's going to be somebody else or it's going to be rocks. It's going to be nature. So there's going to be a party because the King is showing up. You know, and I thought about the parable that Jesus told when he said, you know, the King is preparing a banquet table. And he said, the people that were invited, they didn't come. So the master says, go back out, go to the highways, go to the byways, go to the roads, get the rocks, bring them in. Can I tell you, there's something so purposeful that God is doing in this hour. Don't miss it. Because if you miss it, somebody else is going to pick it up. They may be the rubble. They may be the riffraff. They may be the stones lying on the side of the street. Somebody's going to get it and somebody's going to celebrate what God is doing. Now Jesus shows up. Are you ready for Jesus to show up? I said, are you ready for Jesus to show up? Are you ready for Jesus to show up? Because sometimes when Jesus shows up, he flips some tables over. Sometimes when Jesus shows up, he makes religious people aggravated. Sometimes when Jesus shows up, he does the opposite of your tradition. Sometimes when Jesus shows up, he does stuff that you're not comfortable with. Are you ready for Jesus to show up? Are you ready for Jesus to show up? Don't miss him. Don't miss him. After Jesus shows up, he's celebrated. He's questioned by religious leaders. And then it says he weeps over Jerusalem. Verse 41, but as he came closer to Jerusalem, he saw the city ahead and he began to weep. Can you imagine Jesus weeping? I mean, I'm not talking about just like his eyes were glassed over because he saw a Hallmark commercial. I'm saying Jesus was really weeping. He was crying. He was something he was distraught about. Listen, 42. How I wish, as he's weeping, he says this, how I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late. And the peace is hidden from your eyes. Listen. The Holy Spirit, He's waiting for us. The Holy Spirit is in this place and he's weeping over us saying, don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it. He's saying, don't miss it. Listen to this. It says, before long your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in around you from every side, and they will crush you into the ground from you and your children with you, and your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize when God visited you. Jesus has a plan. God has a plan to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope, to give you a future. The enemy has intentions to sabotage you, to lay, to surround you, to pull your walls down, to bring harm upon you. This is what happens when we miss it. When we miss our moment of visitation, when we miss what God is doing, when we miss the moment that God is moving into our lives and the season that God is doing something new. Jesus says the enemy waits like a roaring lion, right? If you miss it, if you don't stay alert, what happens? Jesus said, sin is crouching at your doorstep. When we miss it, it's a tragic story. Turn to somebody and say, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. There is a moment. I could just see Jesus weeping. There's a moment that there's a pictorial warning for us today not to miss the moment that God is moving. Not to miss the moment that God is doing something monumental in our lives, in our church, in our families. Not to miss it, because there is a victory waiting. Jesus said there is a peace waiting. There is a deliverance waiting for those that are ready to welcome the King. And so he goes into the temple after he weeps, after he celebrates. He goes into the temple, and verse 45, he begins to drive out the people selling animals for sacrifice. And he said to them, scripture declares, my temple will be a house of prayer. But you instead have turned it into a den of thieves. You see, Jesus cleans the temple out. He cleans the temple out to make us ready for what he's doing. Can I tell you today that we have to take a look at our temple? We have to allow the Holy Spirit to help us clean the temple out, because God wants to do something so much superior to anything we've ever seen before. Anything that we can ask or think according to his riches and glory. Amen. But we got to clean out some of the stuff from the last season. To make room for this season, we gotta move some stuff out of the way. We gotta flip some tables over. Because God is doing a new thing. The Bible says, do you not perceive it? I'm making streams in the desert. I'm making pathways in the wilderness for you. But you gotta get ready. Just like John the Baptist. Make way for the Lord. Make way for the Lord. Make way for the Lord. What is God telling you today? What is God speaking into your spirit today? Will you stand with me? What is God saying to you today? Because I believe it is the moment to make ready. It's the moment to make ready ourselves for what God is doing. God is doing something in this hour. It's not just a Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago. It's a Palm Sunday today that we're saying, Hosanna. Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And I tell you, blessed are you when you come in the name of the Lord. But you got to be ready for what God is doing. You got to be prepared for the visitation that God has for you. I just want to ask for everybody to come down today. I believe there's something that God wants us to receive if you'd come down to the altar today. I think there's something corporately that we want to say, God, I'm ready for it. I may not understand the fullness of what I'm getting ready for, but God, I know I'm getting ready for something. I know you have something for me. I know you have plans that 2017 is going to be better than 2016. I know the plans, God. You've got some plans. I may not have wrapped my head all the way around them, but you've got plans to prosper me. You got things to turn things around for my family. You got plans to turn my finances around. You got plans to help me from the place I've been dissatisfied in my soul. But I'm ready. I'm ready, God. I'm ready. I'm ready, God, for the new thing that you have for me. It's Palm Sunday, and I'm saying, God, I'm ready. I'm ready for the King. I'm ready for the King. Would you just lift your hands? Just lift your hands.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.